Thank you, Ted. All right, I'm going to set this microphone right there. All right, welcome everybody. It's good to see everybody here. Hello, all the smiling faces. We have been studying the book of Romans, and didn't Kevin do a good job last week? I was telling Kevin, that was awesome. I was inspired just listening to it. And this week we move on to the next chapter, and Kevin really hammered home last week, truth, truth, and more truth. And so we're going to go before the Lord in prayer and ask that he shine the light of his word on our hearts and help us see more truth. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this morning. Father, I thank you for each person here. We're members of one body. And we thank you that you are the head of the church, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our ears to see and hear the wondrous things from your word. We love you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so chapter 2 of Romans kind of shifts gears a little bit. Chapter 1, we were looking at people struggling with immorality, and what sin does to someone who's living in sin. And this week, it takes a little bit of a turn and starts looking at ourselves. And we live in a world that has the tiger by the tail, and they're running around following this tiger around, and we look and we say, danger, danger. You got the tiger by the tail. It's just a matter of time till that tiger turns around. My son has this thing of catching water snakes. And I don't know what it is with him. Maybe he's just gifted with this. When he catches the water snakes, they don't bite him. When I catch the water snakes, they bite me. And it's kind of like a razor cut. It just bleeds a lot, but it's not that bad. But they got the tiger by the tail, and we're trying to point out danger. And this world looks at the church and says, don't judge me. Let me be. Let me live my life. Now, we're kind of caught in between because Jesus said that we are to be the light of the world. And where should a light not be? Hidden. It shouldn't be under something. The light should be where? Casting its light all over. We are also the salt of the earth. And what's salt good for if it doesn't flavor the meal? It's not worth much, trampled under feet. So we're caught between Jesus saying, be salt and light, and yet the world saying, I like the tiger's tail. It's going good for me. Look how happy I am. And we're right in between. So I pray that this message would help us get a better understanding of how to prepare our hearts to be light and salt. Amen? Amen. I'll start with a little story that'll help us understand where we're going with this in Romans chapter 2. There was a young man named Esli. And Esli was, I'm guessing, between 12 and 13 years old. And he came to our summer camp. And we have all these swimming spots on the river that we go to. We jump off rocks and swim through tunnels. And Esli was very athletic. And the last day of camp, last full day, we always go to this place I call the canyon. And to go to the canyon, you never go on your first year because you can't just get up on a big rock and go, I don't want to jump it. You're in the canyon and there's no way out. It takes a long time to walk out. You have to jump these rocks and swim down these rapids and you got to be able to do it. Well, Esli was there with his older cousin, and I was kind of testing Esli throughout the week, and he'd jump every rock I told him to jump off of in the water, and he was a very athletic football player. Well, I brought him to the canyon, and there's this one rapid where you're in this gorge, and when the water's super high, you just float down, and you keep your feet up, and you just float down the rapid. It's really safe. And when the water's really low, it's just a little bumpy. You're going down, bumping up against the rocks. But when the river's in the middle, you don't notice the rocks down below. And there's a big danger of catching your feet and getting it stuck in between a rock. And it's one of the biggest dangers in this area. And so when we get to this one little 2-foot waterfall, you can't see over the edge till you get to the edge. When you get there to this waterfall, there's a constriction point where you can get your legs stuck in between a rock. And so I have a leader up there telling the kids, all right, slide down the canyon wall, jump into the water. And then there's another leader right by the waterfall saying, keep your feet up, keep your feet up. Well, poor Esley, he was telling me, Tim, I want to see what's over the edge. And I go, you don't need to see. You'll see it when you're going off it. But trust me, I wouldn't have you do this if you were going to get hurt. Just keep your feet up. You're going to flow right over it. It's really good. Well, Esley decided that he wanted to hold the tiger by the tail. And so Mr. Athletic that he was, when he got to this waterfall, he decided to put his feet on the two rocks on either side so he could see what was at the other end. And I'm up on the canyon wall filming all these kids going down. And so Esley stops there, and there's people down below him looking up at him that had already gone off. And we're all waiting together. And there's people up above getting ready for their turn. No one was watching Esley that was upstream from him. And all of a sudden, his feet slipped, got caught in between the rock, and the river went right over his head. And he's wedged in. And all of a sudden, being athletic, he lifted his back up out of the water. And the river's going over his head, making like an air pocket. And you can hear him screaming. I'm up here yelling my head off for someone to help him, because you can hear these screams. The young people that were downstream, they're looking right at his face screaming. And eventually, I got the attention of my military friend guy, and he dove in and pulled Esley down, and I thought he really messed his legs up. No problem. He just got a little shiner on his head. Esley thought he knew better. Esley thought he could hold the tiger by the tail. Esley thought he was so strong that he could look, that he could just investigate a little bit. Esley was very blessed, though, that he had some brothers there by his side to help him. Just like Esley, we live in a world that thinks they have it all under control, but we have a job to do. And I pray that we can be used by God to plant the seeds from God's word that bring freedom. So let's start off, not in the book of Romans, we're going to start off in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, talking about freedom, freeing those who are caught. John 8, 31 and 32 says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? As bad as things are in this world, we know that God's word can bring freedom, that God's word is truth, like Kevin spoke about last week, and the truth will set them free. Not the enjoyment of holding the tiger by the tail. The truth will set them free. That's freedom. This world thinks freedom is being able to do whatever they want. But whoever, the Bible's clear, whoever presents themselves to sin is a slave to sin. They're not free. They're in slavery to sin. We know that God can use us to bring freedom through God's word. The question is, will we be ready, church? Will we be ready, or will we be focused inward? And after Ted's presentation about missions, what a blessing to be part of a church that is focused inward for worship and training and discipleship, but also out where the lost are, where the dying are. So we're going to dive right into Romans chapter 2 because Paul addresses what's going on, how we can be ready to be salt and light, and also so that we can be ready to help and not make things worse. See that quandary that we're in as Christians. We don't want to come off judgmental, but we also need to be salt and light. How do we get this done? So Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Get ready. It goes 0 to 60 real quick here. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things, and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's so easy to look at the world and see their sin and go, I'd never do that. They're wrong. Don't they know that's a tiger? It's very easy to see it in others. What's more difficult is to see it in ourselves. It's hard to see our own, let me say it like this. Every year on the river, I give the speech about keeping your feet up. And for the past 13 years, or 15 years, I forget how long ago, I have given the Estley speech. Now it's not just the speech, it's the Estley speech. And I tell that story to these kids to say, look, this is very, very important. This is what could go wrong. And as I tell, as I give the speech, I could probably come off a little know-it-all, prideful. I've been here so many years. I've done this 100 times. And, you know, it's true. I have done it many times. Estley broke a whole lot of rules, but he was saved. And I'm going to tell you one story that will illustrate this very well. Last year, was the river high or low? Very high. So I take my kids out. Erica's gone watching Grandma. So I take the kids out to this one little spot where there's some rapids and some little rock jumps, and I say, kids, let's go jump off the rocks. No, Daddy, we want to float the pine cones in the river. And I'm like, come on, guys, I'm cooped up in the house with you doing school. Now we're out here at the river. Let's jump the big rocks. And no, Daddy, we want to float pine cones down the rapids. Okay, let's go collect pine cones. So we collect pine cones, and they're playing real good. And I look over, and I see the big rock. And I say, hey, kids, you stay right here. Daddy's going to go jump off the rock real quick. So I go jump off the rock, and as I go by, I see one of the most beautiful tunnels that's out there. We call it the Whirlpool Tunnel. This tunnel, it's got about a 5-foot diameter whirlpool, and it about 2 feet down, it sucks under a rock, goes down, and there's a log down there, and the current just takes you. You don't even got to swim. The current takes you, and you pop out about 12 feet down, and you swim up. And I go, oh, yeah, I'm tough, I'm strong, I know all the rules of the river. So the kids are, well, they're happy with their pine cones. So I'll put it to you this way. I followed most of the rules. I went and I looked in the whirlpool to make sure it's not clogged with branches or logs. You never go downstream on a tunnel. So I go downstream, I dive down, I crawl up the log, and I look to make sure the tunnel's unplugged and unclogged. Sweet. So I jump in the whirlpool, swim around a little bit, and then sucks me down. Woo! And I come out, and I look at the kids. They're still floating their pine cones. So then I go, yeah, I want to see if I still got it. I'm 48 years old, and I want to go upstream like I used to. Well, last year there was a little stronger of a flow. So I catch my breath. I'm doing all the steps right, most of them. I dive down, I climb up the log, and I get right to the opening where you gotta kind of launch and swim really fast to get up into the whirlpool. And as I launch off, I notice I wasn't making it. I go, that's okay. I'll just go back down, grab the log, and I'll get myself in a better position and really hit it. I'm burning all my oxygen. And when I launch, I get myself almost to the top of the whirlpool, and the current sucks me back into the rock, and I can't get up, and now I'm out of air. And I know there's only one way to go, all the way back down. So I turn around, swim down, and by the time I got to the bottom, I was starting to black out. I lost color vision, and everything was going black, whites, and yellows, And I'm going, I got to get to the top. All I could think about was my kids and their pine cones. And I come up to the top and I grab onto a rock and I look at the kids and they're laughing, screaming, being kids. And I just started crying, going, oh my goodness, they would not even know, have known until I went floating down the river by them. I knew a whole lot. I knew the rules and I followed most of the rules. I tell all the kids how to follow the rules. But I broke just one or two rules. Can anyone think of the number one rule I broke? I went there by myself. Esli, as many rules as he broke, at least had some brothers there to catch him when he fell. I was there by myself, and my pinecone children definitely wouldn't have been of much help. Sometimes, church, we slip up in one way, and we can pay a tremendous price, and the body of Christ can pay a tremendous price. This is an example of what Paul was addressing back then, and it still speaks to us today. Let's go to Romans chapter 2, verse 17 through 24. Because I say to myself, oh yeah, I'm a Cantwell, I grew up on this river. I teach all the kids how to do everything. I know. Paul's speaking right to me, speaking to us, church. Let's read 17 to 24. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Verse 20, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Verse 21, you therefore, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? And this is the part that breaks my heart. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Just like the Jews of Paul's day, we Christians can make the same mistake. In verse 17, where Paul said, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law. Imagine this. Today, indeed, you are called a Christian and find your rest in Christ, and you make your boast in God. And yet we do many of the things that this world does, but in a different way, in a way that doesn't seem as bad as the way they're doing it, and yet it's still sin in our lives. And Paul is clear. He says that God is blasphemed by the lost. Now, you might say, well, I know when I'm out and about, I hear the name of God used in vain at every place I go, and it breaks my heart. Yeah, this world blasphemes the name of the Lord out of their own will. But we never want it to be that they blaspheme the name of the Lord because of our actions, because of the things we've allowed into our lives. And the world looks and says, and what's the word they always use? Starts with an H. Hypocrites. And it gives them an occasion to blaspheme the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, may we live according to your saving grace and mercy that's extended to us as we preach the gospel. So what would be the number one tool that could help us balance this flesh that we still have, this mind that needs to be renewed, with this spirit that longs to serve God? The heart of a Christian longs to serve Jesus, and yet this flesh is, it's desiring so many things that it shouldn't have. And this mind is caught in between, going, oh, I'm unstable in all my ways. I got to get this mind of Christ. This one word right here, humility. Church, without humility, it will be very hard for us to tell anyone the danger of holding the tiger by the tail. A heart that's been humbled is able to go into the fire and pull out souls. A heart that has no humility points the finger at those in the fire and says, they asked for it. Now the tiger's mauling them. I told them. But a humble heart, church, that's what we need inside of us. That heart, it's the heart of, we need that Nathan and David experience. Remember when the prophet Nathan confronted David and told him the story about the lamb and the rich man and the poor man? We need that, you are that man, Tim, experience. How did David respond? Let's look in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. So after David was confronted, so David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. Listen to this. This was just what Paul was saying to us. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Church, I believe our salvation is secure, but how's our walk? Is it pleasing to God? Or is it pleasing to man? There's a big question here. How's your walk? Compared to who? Compared to who? We could all find someone to compare ourselves to that makes us feel like, yeah, I'm following the rules. I'm doing good. Look at that guy. And that guy's always messing up. And we feel like we got it all together. What we need is a Nathan in our life, the Holy Spirit to speak to us and us to lend an ear to what he's saying, Tim, you are that man. You look over at him and see what he's doing. What do you got going? You're either perfect or you're covered by the blood. And you sure ain't perfect, Tim. So you can stand on one thing, in Christ alone. Who are you to stand up without humility? Who are you? Compared to Esley, I behave a lot better on the river. I remember talking to a young person, college age, and they said, Tim, you know, this person was going to Sunday service, Friday service, prayer, and, you know, doing all the steps, doing everything. And there was this other person in the church, this guy would blow it royally quite often. And this one person came to me and said, Tim, how come it seems like God is using him when he just keeps blowing it? And I'm doing everything, but God doesn't seem to use me. I said, this brother right here has this heart of David. He's quick to repent, and he's quick to believe. When the challenge of Jesus comes and says, come follow me, and everyone else is saying, well, I got mom and dad to take care of, I got this job, and let me go first do this. This young man, he's always responding to the call of Jesus. Yeah, but he keeps blowing it. Have you been with him when he was weeping and crying? Just like King David said, I have sinned. I said, my friend, I'm not the one who says whether God should use someone or not. I can't explain it. On paper, yeah, you might look like you're better suited to be used by God, but God is using this young man. You know, it's so sad. A few years later, this Christian fell into the same sin. Church, a humble heart that says, God, I don't want to preach to others and then disqualify myself from the prize. Amen? Pride will set you up for God's judgment. Comparing yourself to others will blind you to the true danger that's in front of you. The loss that you could suffer. Let's go to Romans chapter 2, verse 11 through 16. How does God judge us? Is there partiality? Let's read 11 through 16. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves, who show the work of the law written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Verse 16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus, according to my gospel. Church, with the Holy Spirit in our lives, we know when there's sin in the camp. We know. Might not be a big one. Could be the sin of Achan. Just a little carpet, a little vessel. Just a little something is buried. No one knows. It's not hurting the church. And yet if we'll listen to the Holy... Just ask your wife. Just ask your spouse. Your spouse can usually look, oh, now we could fool. But our spouse can usually look over and say, Tim, pray about it. And I can tell by that look, my words were not as they should have been. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, guiding us, correcting us, bringing us back in line. Amen? Romans chapter 2 shows that even those without the Holy Spirit or the law know it in their conscience. And as children of light, we must hold fast to the humility that we had at salvation. It's so beautiful to see the humility in the life of a new convert, someone who has just given their life to the Lord. And there's that brokenness that they realize they can't stand on their own. We can't try to stand by our own works, because our own works are what to God? Filthy rags. The best that I got to offer God, oh yeah, Tim can do this, the best works that I can offer, line me up for hell without the blood of Jesus. Paul nailed it in verse 25 through 29 when he addressed circumcision. Let's go to Romans chapter 2, verse 25. 5 through 29. We're looking at symbols and ceremonies. The Jews and even the Christians were trying to stand on their symbols and their ceremonies as if that could save them. Let's read that. Verse 25 through 29. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted a circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? Pay attention right here. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. Verse 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. People were trying to stand with their ceremonies and saying, this ceremony, this symbol in my life causes me to have salvation. That's not how it works. See this thing on my finger right here? Watch this. Watch this. Guess what this is? It's a ring, and it's a symbol of what? My marriage. Okay, watch. I'm married. Am I not married? I'm married. I'm not. I'm married. No. It doesn't matter if I go to the gym and, oh, I don't want to hurt my ring. If I take this ring off, the marriage is right here, amen? This is a symbol. It doesn't mean I'm married or not married. Now, it's an outward display, and yes, it is a healthy thing to keep this thing on, but it doesn't mean that you're married. Funny situation. I've done a lot of marriages, ceremonies, and one thing you'll learn about me, I am horrible when it comes to paperwork and details stuff. My dad, too. We're two peas in a pod. So my mom takes care of all the church detail stuff. So when we do the marriage ceremony, we don't sign any document. My mom gets it all ready. And so Erica and I get married, and it's a busy season. So we go over to the courthouse to get our marriage certificate. And I go, hey, we just want to pick up our marriage certificate. And the lady looks at our name and goes, you're not married. And Erica goes, what? Yes, we are, Tim. And I go, we're married. Don't worry. We're married. You were there. I was there. Everyone was there. Remember my dad did the ceremony? And she goes, no, sir, you are not married. Okay. 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 We're not married. Okay. Yes, we are married. Sir, you have not filled out this form. You're going to have to go hire another minister to perform this and do this. I go, look, I know the minister. It's all good. And Erica, Tim, we've been living together for the last 3 months. Yes, we were married. It doesn't matter what the certificate says or doesn't say. So guess when? So we got married January 9th. Guess when our official marriage date is? April Fool's Day. So every April Fool's Day, I'll remind Erica, hey. Happy anniversary. The certificate, the ring, doesn't make us married or not married. It's something that happened here. The ceremonies, the baptism, the circumcision, these things that we say are so important. Yes, if it's going on in here. Amen? Church, we need to seek to please God, not after symbols and ceremonies, simply to get the praises of men. What does God love? What is the heart that God loves? Our final scripture for the morning, Psalms 51, verse 16 and 17. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would have given it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Church, we desire the lost to come to Christ, but we have to be prepared to receive them. We have to prepare our hearts to receive the lost. If we don't, I'm reminded of a time when Jesus says, you go travel all over to seek one convert, and then what do you do with them once you find them? You turn them into a very bad person, put it to you that way. We're seeking to save the lost. You see the Juana's group, the teacher Kevin and Miriam and the crew working with these young people, saving the lost. Man, if we can show them that humility inside of the life of a Christian. At church, I was praying over this week saying, God, this is a rough chapter, man. I like being a little more friendly and happy, but this is a tough one. I don't know if I would have picked this one, but it's good. It's good. We need that challenge, that little kick in the butt to get us up and say, wait a minute, God. It's nice, these things that I'm doing, but what do you really desire? You desire my heart. You desire my heart. If we truly are the bride of Christ, the spouse can always tell when the heart of their loved one is not with them. And as I was praying for us this week, I just felt God saying that we can do better. That there's things in our lives that the Holy Spirit has been addressing. And we know it's nothing new. A lot of it, you could go back to when you were still in your parents' house, some of the things that they warned you about that you're still wrestling with today. Where does freedom come from? From trying really hard here? No. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Church, our enemy, one of the titles that he has is the accuser of the brethren. It's one of his talents. Accusing us, saying, who are you to go preach? look what you've got going on. And rather than sweeping it under the carpet and saying, oh, it's all good now, it's saying, God, I've sinned. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me, that when I go preach to others, I would not disqualify myself from the prize and give a reason for the lost to blaspheme the name of the Lord. Church, some of you guys have been saved longer than I've been alive. Who am I to tell you anything other than the world's dying? Kevin's message last week and through the Word of God made it very clear. We're living in a fallen world that's dying, that desperately needs the life, the freedom that the church has to offer. I want to close with a song that that's a ministry song. It's not, you know, worship songs are good, but then you read the Psalms, you hear David singing out stuff. He sings some pretty powerful stuff, some pretty deep stuff that was coming out of him. And I wrote this song, and it deals with, it's for us as Christians, that says, we know that there's sin inside of us. And yet we feel disqualified from ministry. We feel disqualified from God using us for anything. And yet, look what Christ does in our life. So I'd like to close with this song, if you will permit me.
As I sing, I'd like you to just close your eyes, bow your head. If you want to look at the lyrics, that's fine too. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Sometimes we approach God as if He's about to slap us upside the head. And God is saying, child, I love you. I've been bringing you back to me. I've been waiting at the end of the road, waiting to see you come back home. Let the love of God cover over you. I felt your love come over me. I heard you say, my child, you're free. I felt your love come over me. Salvation came, and I was free. But little did I know what I would see in me. But little did I know what pain there would be. Little did I know I'd turn against you, Lord. Don't want to live that way anymore. I felt your grace come over me. I heard you say, let forgiveness reign. I felt your grace come over me. Things again. Little did I know my flesh was prone to sin. Little did I know I turn against you, Lord. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to live for you, my Lord. From this time on. felt your strength come over me. I heard you say, come to me. I felt your strength come over me. So I came with pain in me. But little did I know what would be waiting there. Love and compassion answers to my prayer. Little did I know that you'd take me back, my Lord. To live this way forevermore. I want to live for you, my Lord. With all of me for you, my Lord. I give my flesh to you, my Lord. This time on forevermore, I want to live for you, my Lord. From this time on forevermore, Father God, we desire to live for you. Father God, we know that we have failed. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. It covers a multitude of sin. Father God, help us to take our eyes off ourselves and to set them upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We desire to go higher in you, Lord. Help us to forget those things that are behind, to look towards those things that are ahead. Father God, I thank you that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What a blessing to not be condemned, Lord. To be able to look in the eyes of our Savior and hear those words, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Now go and sin no more. What a blessing to be called by your name and to be loved by you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. We are a privileged people, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the accusations of our enemy. Father, this church, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And I thank you that this church will minister as we are ministered to, that we will be salt and light in this community, in this world, and in this generation. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.